Amen?
Amen.
It's so wonderful to be with friends. Atani, when we were together with Ed Elliott for many, many years, we would do founding conferences like this and crusades, and I usually would end up being in the same room with Atani at night. We'd share a room, and he would be up until 03 in the morning playing with his computer and his gadgets and his everything. So, aren't you glad for songs that lift up Jesus?
Yes.
Amen? All right. Well, I want us to pray tonight, because as God brings forth the word tonight, I believe that He wants to change our hearts.
Amen.
Amen. I think He wants us to see some things, and not just see them from a, well, now that I know them kind of view, but to really change the way we relate to God. Amen. Can we pray? Just put your hand on your heart. Let's pray. Father, I thank You right now. We pray that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, flooded with light, that we would see. Father, I thank You that we open up our hearts to You and to Your Spirit, to Your Word. Father, we want to have a real relationship with You. Not just going through the motions, but something that changes the way we live, changes the way we see, changes the way we minister. Father, I thank You tonight that Holy Spirit, You are the teacher. You're the one who will reveal the Word of God to our hearts. So we do our part and we open up our heart to You. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm ready.
Amen.
Great Christian theologian, A.W. Tozer. And he wrote many, many things about God and things. But he made a statement, and I really believe it's true, that the most important thing in your life right now is what you think about when you think about God.
Good, Walker.
The most important thing in your life, it's not how much money's in the bank, it's not the status of your life, but the most important thing is what you think about when you think about God. See, because everybody has an idea of who God is, right? People that serve other religions talk about God. Politicians, when they're looking for votes, talk about God. Right? And so, but here's the thing. When we talk about something like Table Mountain, Cape Town. Did everybody just see Table Mountain, Cape Town? We all saw the same exact thing. Right? Because it is what it is. But when we say God, it depends what you've heard about Him. It depends on a lot of different factors, what you think about God. Now, here's the thing. Pastor Tom today talked about God's opinion, His viewpoint. It's not a version. It is reality. God is God. And there is a viewpoint of Him that is real. How many of you, I'd like to have that viewpoint.
Amen.
Of who He really is. Now, the wonderful thing is, He has gone to incredible lengths in His Word to show us who He is.
Yes, He has.
He's not hiding.
Right.
He's not a mystery.
Right.
He's come out into the open.
Yeah.
All right? And so tonight, we're gonna see some things about Him, but not just so we can see, but so that we can have a relationship with Him in that way. Now, when we think about God, there are a lot of images of how people see God. If someone's, you know, making a painting, or if they're drawing a cartoon, sometimes God has gray hair. He's got a beard. He's definitely old. All right? And so there are a lot of, and I want to just go through a couple images of God. There's Grandfather God. Grandfather God. You know, he's nice. Really nice. He likes to do nice things. He's old, and he's kind of out of touch. Like if Grandfather God tonight was here, he probably wouldn't have been dancing up front. Right? Because he's tired. He's had a long life. But he's really, really sweet. He's nice. And Grandfather God is hard of hearing. And so when you pray, you've got to make sure you get His attention. Oh, Grandfather God. Right? We got it. Because he's... So there's an image of God like that. There's school teacher God. How many of you had school teachers? All right. And school teacher God, you really want to please them. You want to make him happy. You want to get good grades. You want Him to say, good job, school teacher God. There is Judge God. That is, everything about this God is right and wrong. And He's watching. He sees everything. And He's taking very good notes. You know, there's video cameras here tonight. Well, Judge God has got everything recorded. All right? Judge God. And you can't beat the system. There's mystical God. Mystical God is God who is... He's out there. He's kind of strange. He's a little bit weird. And He makes you do weird things in church. Huh? Mystical God. His ways are higher than your ways. You never know what mystical God is going to do. Huh? He's out, you can't understand Him. He doesn't want to be understood, and He's just like breath and mist. Mystical God. Have you ever heard about that kind of God? Alright? There's distant God. That is, you know, He made this world. He seems pretty nice, but He is far, far away. God is watching us from a distance. And so He's not, you know, He's interested when you get baptized. So, you know, when you go to church, and He's certainly there for your funeral, but He's really not involved in every day of your life. I mean, after all, He's running the whole world. 6 billion people. How can He be interested in you? He's distant. Alright? So, we have to realize, you know, I grew up in a church, and it's not a bad church, but this church, the guy who would preach and everything, he wore robes. There's nothing wrong with wearing robes, you know. Right? It's not a sin. But in the way the whole church was conducted, it was very, very formal. You stood at certain times. You sat down at certain times. You knelt at certain times. You read out of the book, you know. And so God was very orderly. I don't know. I lived in South Africa for 10 years, and I don't know now. But the first town I lived in was in Rustenburg. All right. And in Rustenburg, you drive around towns, and you see these signs in front of the church. Church! Silence. Silence. No hooting. If you're talking, you're having fun with your friends. When you get in front of church, okay? Because God is serious. All right? Silence. All right? Now, Jesus came into our earth. God made flesh.
Amen.
We got to see Him. We got to be with Him. What He did and how He lived, it's recorded. It happened. All right. Now, when He came into the world, and when He began to relate with people, there was an idea of God. The religious leaders of God, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they had made God, they had reduced Him to rules. Yeah. You got to do this. And you know, some of the rules were pretty good. They weren't necessarily all of them bad rules, but everything about God was this, 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 and this. And you were either good or bad. And if you're a Pharisee, when you prayed, you would pray, and literally they would pray, I thank you, God, that I am not like other men. They'd actually pray, thank you, God, that you made me a man and not a woman. So you were either in or out. Let's look at a verse, Matthew 23:4. It says, these guys, Jesus was talking about them, He said, they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Now, here's the thing. They didn't get the God of the Old Covenant right. The God who had revealed Himself to Moses and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the prophets, they really didn't have a good picture of Him. But you see, God, throughout the Bible, have you ever been in a room where you can turn up the lights with a dimmer switch?
Yeah.
All right? And starting in Genesis, we've got a little bit of light about God. And as we walk through the Bible, God keeps bringing up the light.
Yes, He does.
All right? And so in our day, 2008, we see and we know more about God than David.
That's right. Yeah.
Than Moses. All right? Because we live in a lot of light. Now, when God in the Old Testament began to reveal Himself, I put down three kind of main categories of when God said, this is what I do. One of the areas He said about Himself, now here's the thing. It's not how we define God that's important.
Yes.
God defines Himself.
Amen. Come on now.
Yeah. All right? We live in a day and age that people just kind of create their own God. And however you see God, we're all tolerant, we're all happy, and that's okay. Well, it's not okay. God says, this is what I'm like. One of the things He said, I'm a covenant-keeping God. That is, I keep covenant with my people. Another thing that He portrayed was that I am God Almighty. That's what His name is.
Yeah.
So, He can do everything. He was and is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us.
Yes.
God our victory, and He displayed Himself. So, He was all-powerful. And He was a God of justice. All right? We see in the Old Testament, God punished sin. All right? Aren't you glad that today, Jesus bore our punishment?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, see, here's the thing. God is still all of those things. He's still a covenant-keeping God. He's still Almighty God. He's still a God of justice. All right? And now, in our day and age, we live in the new covenant. I want you to turn to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1. Now, the author of Hebrews was writing to believers who used to be Jews. All right? So, they had a mindset. They had a revelation already about some of these things about God. That He was a covenant-keeping God. He was God Almighty. He was a God of justice. And so, one of the things about Hebrews is bringing us into the fullness of the light of Jesus in the new covenant. And in Hebrews chapter 1, notice this. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Turn to your neighbors and say, in the past.
Amen.
So, there was a time in the past that God spoke to our fathers. Is that you? No. I'm talking about somebody else. So in the past, God spoke to another group of people through the prophets. Now, I'm really glad He did. And when we go into the Old Covenant and we see, well, there's a lot we can understand about God. But notice verse 2. But in these last days, has spoken to us.
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, to you.
Right.
In these days, that's present tense. These days, God has spoken to us by His Son.
Yes, He has.
Different time, different audience, different messenger. So what that tells me is, if my understanding of God only comes from the Old Covenant, I'm not going to see the full picture.
That's right.
Now, here's the thing. God is still all those things. But how many of you would like to write a letter written to you? If it was addressed to you, you'd read it.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Now, if I wrote a letter to you, and it was addressed to you, and it had a message for you, that's important, right? Now, if I wrote another letter to Pastor Allen, you could understand some things about me because it's the same person writing. It's not your letter. It's not written to you. You see, the new covenant is written to you. Jesus spoke to us, and there's something that He said. There's a huge message of what He gave us. Now, there's a lot that Jesus did when He revealed God to us. But one of the biggest things that Jesus did is He introduced an idea, and that is God is our Father.
Amen.
God is our Father. Now, turn with me to Matthew 11, verse 27. Matthew 11, verse 27. Jesus is talking about Himself, so I think He's telling us the truth. Amen?
Amen.
He said, "All things have been committed to Me by My Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him." So, in the Bible, five times in the Old Testament, God is referred to as Father. I think in the note, 263 times in the New Testament, God is referred to as Father. Well, why is that? Well, see, here's the thing. Moses wasn't qualified to talk about God as a Father. Jesus was.
Yeah.
Because Jesus was and is the Son.
That's right.
See, no man knows the Father except the Son. But there's another group of people. And the group of people that Jesus chose to reveal the Father to. Guess who's in that group?
Oh, yeah.
We're in that group. We're in that group. Amen. We're in that group. And so Jesus now introduces not a different God, the same God who is Jehovah, the same God that delivers, the same God who is our victory, that God just happens to be your Father.
Yeah, right. Amen.
They knew Him as God. They knew that He did all these things, but they didn't know He's Father.
Right.
Amen. John chapter 1, 16 says, "And of His fullness we have all received." This is Jesus. "And grace for grace. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." The NIV says it this way, "He has made Him known." Not a mystery, not hiding, not under a bush. Oh, God's mysterious. No, He's not.
Right.
Now, in our lifetime, we won't understand everything about God because our brain just doesn't have that capacity. It's going to take all of eternity. But God is interested in us knowing, and Jesus said, "I have come to make Him known." Now, turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 12. I've got the wrong reference here. I apologize. But anyway, the reference is that Jesus was talking about the Father, and the Pharisees were very upset. And He said, "How can you call God Father?" They didn't understand, and they were very upset that Jesus would call God Father. Now, why can Jesus call God Father? Because He really is.
Yeah.
I mean, He's not just kind of saying it, but He really is.
Right.
Now, we could say, well, that's wonderful for Jesus. Everybody knows Jesus is God's Son. And so Jesus is talking about His Father, His Father, His Father, His Father. So much so that when the disciples one time said, "Just show us Him, please." You remember?
Yeah.
Just show, and that's all I'm going to have. One question, just show us the Father. And we know what the response was. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Because I came to reveal Him. And he did a marvelous job. Now, so Jesus went about all the time talking about His Father, His Father, His Father. "I don't do anything unless My Father says so. I don't say anything unless I hear Him say it. My Father and I are My Father, My Father, My Father, My Father." So we say, well, that's wonderful for Jesus. But here's the thing. Jesus invited us into that same relationship.
Yes, He did.
The disciples saw Jesus pray. They were around Him when He prayed. They saw the results of when He prayed. It was different than the Pharisees. And they said, "Can you teach us? Can you teach us how to pray?" Now, again, the Pharisees had their own way of praying. The prophets had their own way of praying. But Jesus, He gets everybody amazed with the first statement. He said, when you pray, tell your neighbor, when you pray, say this: "Our Father."
Yeah.
See, David didn't pray that way.
No.
Moses didn't pray that way. Did they know God? Yeah, they knew God. Man, in marvelous ways. But Jesus said, He said, "Don't just pray to the Father of Jesus. Say, Our Father. Our Father." So He invites us that we can talk to God that way. Now here's the thing. How many of you in your life, maybe growing up, you had someone in your life that was like an auntie or an uncle? You know, Uncle John. Now, and so you, the whole family, it's Uncle John, and you grew up, and then one day your parents say, "Well, he's not really your uncle. He's, but we call him uncle, right?" You know, and you know, in we know in Africa, you know, somebody may, you know, kids come into the family and everything, and well, it's not really my father, but you know, I was raised in a home, and he's like my father. Yeah. Well, but he's either like, is he your real father, or we just grew up in the home, or well, no, he's not really my brother, but he's kind of like my brother. He's like my uncle, but he's not. And so sometimes we say, "Well, isn't that nice? You know, Jesus has a father, and we get to call him father, but you know, he's kind of like our father." No, he really is your father.
Yes, that's right.
You really are his kid. You really are his child. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Listen to it from the Message Bible. God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are. Father and children. Who you really are. Now, I might meet you and you're a pastor, I'm a pastor. That's not who you really are.
That's right.
That's just what you do.
Right.
There's some people who have pastor on their name badge, but they're not pastors. Did you ever meet anybody like that? "Oh, Pastor so-and-so, hey, it's so good to see you." Well, you know, I went to Bible school, and now I'm a pastor. Oh, okay. Well, that's nice. See, it's great to be an apostle. It's great to be a pastor, evangelist, whatever you are. Housewife, business person. But who you really are is God's child.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. Every other title you may get is under that title.
That's right.
That's the big one. That's the big deal. Amen?
Amen?
A child of God. Paul, in all 13 of his introductions in the epistles, he said, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father." Not Jehovah. Not Almighty God. Now, is he still that? Yeah, he didn't change. He can't change. He's still that. But that God is our Father. Our Father. Ephesians 4, Paul's prayer, he says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Now, when we begin to think about God as a Father, can we just take a short time? Because Jesus used a term about God, God our Father, that when He said that, everybody knew what He was talking about. Right?
Yeah.
You know, people that are new to the church, there's lingo that people don't understand when they first come to the church. You know, you have a church service and you say, "Man, that was anointed." Somebody from the world's like, "What? What is anointed?" Right? You realize that, right? And you may hear, you know, I went to a church, it was a good church, but you know, on the walls they had the names of God, Jehovah Sidkenu. So you, a unbeliever comes in, Jehovah Sidkenu, is this, what is this, a Greek church? Or I don't know, what is this? They don't know what that means. They don't know what that means. But here's the thing, when Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Our Father," everybody immediately knows, "Oh, Father, I know what that is. I had one. I am one. There's one that lives on my street." Father is a term of reference that every human being is aware of. Okay? So, Jesus says, "I want you to think of God and see Him and know Him, because He really is, as a Father." Because He is. Not like one, but He is. So, let's think about this. If you were the enemy, aren't you glad you're not?
Yeah.
All right. But if you were the enemy, and God says, "I'm going to relate to human beings, my children, those that are born again from me, in my kingdom. If I'm going to relate to them, I'm going to relate to them as Father and Son." Maybe one of the greatest ways to mess up people's relationship with God is to mess up people's relationship with their natural father, their human father. Because every single person in this room, you've got a natural father.
Yes.
Some of them are alive. Some of them have passed away. Some were good. Some were bad. Some were in between. But everybody here today has a father. Not Father God, real father. I mean, the person that you look like. Am I right? There's you've been to health class, right? There's no other way to get into this earth. You have to have a father. Now, there are different kinds of fathers. There's an absent father. Maybe you grew up in a home where there was no father. He just wasn't there. It wasn't that he was bad. He wasn't mean. He didn't exist. I know people who, they'd never met their father. The father was there for conception, and that was the last time. Maybe through death. Maybe through divorce. All right? A distant father. That is, he was there in the home, but he wasn't, didn't have a lot of contact with you. And he was busy, and you didn't have a very close relationship. Maybe you had an abusive father. That is, he hurt you. Mentally, sexually, physically. Someone that was supposed to love you, protect you, provide for you, actually did the opposite.
Yeah.
They used you for some type of twisted reason for themselves. They abused you. That happens. Stern father. That is, he was there, he didn't hurt you, but it was really only about the rules and doing right. And being okay when you were with him. But you know, not all fathers are like that. There are caring fathers. Loving. Empowering. Accepting. Amen? Some of you, and if you look through this list, maybe yours was a combination. Right? Maybe he was number three sometimes and number four. And once a year he was number five. My father left my house when I was 12 years old. Took my brother and I on a drive, and we got around the corner of our house, and we didn't know really that our parents were fighting, and he said, "I'm leaving your mother." And he left, and he never came back. Now, I have a relationship with him today, but he wasn't there. He was absent. All right? And so, I have an image of a natural father. Now here's the thing. When God says, I'm your father. He's not just a really, 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 really good version of your father. Like your father with all of the bad stuff taken away. That's not who God is. God is a perfect father.
Yes.
He is everything a father should be,
right,
times a million.
Right.
He's caring. He's a provider. Yes. He's interested. He has time. He corrects. He loves. He heals. He does everything. He is the perfect father. That's who He is. Now, the wonderful thing about God is He never has a bad day. I don't know if you had a father that if you were going to see him or ask of him, you kind of had to tell if it was a good day. Perhaps you had in my house, there was a lot of drunkenness, a lot of alcoholism. So if you were going to talk to your father, it was better to talk to them when they were sober. If they were ever sober. Sometimes they weren't. James 1:16 says, "Don't be deceived, my beloved brethren." That means it's possible to be deceived. Every good, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from who? The Father of lights, in whom there is no variation, no shadow of turning. The Message Bible says nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. Now, all of us, God created us in a way, and I believe on purpose, that when we were born into a natural family, there were certain things that we needed, all right? And little kids need. But one of the things that every child needs is their father's blessing. And you see it in the Old Testament, how that Abraham, before he died, he would lay his hands on Isaac and he would speak the blessing.
Yes.
And Isaac spoke the blessing. David spoke the blessing over his son. Today's Jewish culture, when a young Jewish man is 12 years old, the bar mitzvah, it has that idea about it. That the family is blessing and bringing this young man into adulthood. And there's a sign. And God designed us and wired us so that we want to make our father happy. We want him to be pleased. We want to hear him, not your teacher, not your relative, not your friend, but your father, to say, "I'm proud of you."
Yes.
I'm 40 years old. I turned 40 last year. And my father is 75 years old. And God has restored our relationship in a wonderful way. And I went and visited him. I took 2 days and I just spent time with him. Because I don't know how long I'll be able to see him. And when I was with him, 40 years old, I've got a wife and kids. I'm a happy guy. But he looked across the table and he said, "Walker, I'm proud of you." My wife can't even say that and touch my heart the way my father can.
That's right.
Now, I already know God loves me. But see, every person craves that. And see, unfortunately, most of our fathers, they never received the blessing. And they didn't know how to give it.
Right.
And so most of us never got it. Or we had to work for it. See, my father had a father. His father had a father. My father received the blessing from his father by working in the family business. And that was the way you gained attention and acceptance. And so he did that to get the father's blessing. I had a young man that I went to university with. Incredibly talented. He could sell ice to Eskimos. Huh? He could sell sand to people in Botswana. All right? He was incredible, talented, gifted. Was a Christian guy. And was a leader and did so many wonderful things. But his father was very successful, very driven. He was a physician, a doctor. And he told his son, the only thing you can do in life is to be a doctor, a lawyer, or an accountant. You know, this guy had a passion for business. So what did he do? He wanted to please his father. So he went through university, went through law school, till he finally came to a point in his life to say, you know what, I've been trying to please my father all these years. And he quit, started doing something else. But that strained relationship and that driving actually drove him crazy. And one day he took a shotgun out in his backyard, put it in his mouth, pulled the trigger. Good man. Why? Because he couldn't get the Father's blessing. See, we're designed to have this. We have to have it. We'll do anything for it. You know, girls grow up in homes. They don't get the Father's blessing. And you know what the substitute is? Substitute is a young man that says, I'll give you love as long as you sleep with me.
Yeah.
Because why? Are they evil girls? Not always. They crave the Father's blessing. And they'll look for it. They'll go for it. Now, Jesus received His Father's blessing. He lived in that assurance. That's why He could tell His disciples, my Father loves me. He was aware of that. He knew that. Now, here's the thing. When we try to do something to get the Father's blessing, because here's the thing, friend, you have to have it. Now, here's the thing. You may be sitting here tonight and say, I don't need it. Your heart has to have it. You have to have it. Now, you may deny it. You may say, you know what? You have to have it. You will look for it. Now, here's the thing. When we tried it, we didn't get our Father's blessing, our natural Father's blessing, or maybe we had to work for it. Maybe we had to perform for it. Maybe we had to do things to hear Him say, well done. After we did something, then we got the pat on the back. And so we bring that idea over to our natural Father, from our natural Father to our spiritual Father, God. And so we try to get His blessing. So we work for it. We try to perform for it. And you know what? In churches, we've got a lot of things for you to do.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got intercession night. We've got singles meetings, women's meetings, men's meetings, small groups meetings, leaders meetings. We've got every meeting in the world. And I think some churches are designed to keep people in church at all times so they won't go out into the world and sin. We'll just keep you so busy that you'll never even have time to go to the pub. Huh? So we're doing all these things. Now, here's the problem. If you're trying to do something to get your Heavenly Father's blessing, His approval on your life, you're going to come to two false conclusions. Now, the one that's a little bit easier is, I didn't do enough. See, there was a time in my life where the real motivation that I prayed... How many of you know prayer is a really good thing? Like on your to-do list for the day, that's a good thing. Pray. Jesus said pray. Amen?
Yeah.
Paul said pray. But my motivation for praying was to get the Father's blessing. It was to make Him happy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard somebody say to make God smile.
Yeah.
Can I let you in on a little secret? He's been smiling for thousands of years. He's still smiling. Amen. And so my motivation in prayer was to get the Father's blessing. And when I was done praying, I always realized it wasn't enough. It wasn't fervent enough. It wasn't strong enough. I fell asleep halfway through it. And, please don't look at me like I know you've fallen asleep in prayer, right? So most of the time when we try to get the Father's blessing, the conclusion we come to is, I haven't done enough.
Yeah.
All right. Now the other really, probably a conclusion that's worse, is that you have done enough. That somehow your prayer life and the size of your church and the way you dress somehow makes the God of the universe happy. Huh? The God who spoke the earth and He looks down at your church and says, wow, that impresses me. Oh, that's so wonderful. Are you kidding me? Huh? You've got somebody who's really big to impress. And so either conclusion leaves our heart empty. I haven't done enough. Or, yeah, I'm doing pretty good today. Working for the Father's blessing. You see, the Old Testament, it was all up to your performance. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. See, friends, Jesus became a man. And the Bible says that He emptied Himself of His divine privileges. He didn't stop being God, but He operated just like you and me. A man anointed with the Holy Spirit. All right? If He did everything that He did as God, He didn't need to be anointed with God.
That's right.
Right? And that's why He can tell us, the works that I do, you can do them, because we are men and women anointed by God. So Jesus went through an experience. It was for Him, but I believe it's also for us. It's an example. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus had been hanging out on planet Earth, all right? But He hadn't done anything of note. We really don't know. It says He grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. But really, He was called the carpenter's son. So that means He was His stepfather Joseph, he was an apprentice, and he was making things. All right? Now, isn't it amazing? The God who made the tree now starts carving it up into a table. I bet you He made nice chairs. You think?
Yeah.
Think they were pretty good?
Yeah.
Amen. And so up to this time, He hadn't really done anything, but it was time for His ministry to begin. And so He goes and He presents Himself to John the Baptist. And we know, this is when Peter talks about in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. This is when His healing ministry began. No healings before this time because of the anointing, right? How many of you know the anointing is a great thing, right?
Yeah.
He anoints us. He empowers us to do what we need to do. But friend, I believe that there is something else that happened at this time that was of equal or perhaps more importance for Jesus in His life. When He was presented to be baptized and He got there, there was a voice that came out of heaven. The Spirit of God came on like a dove. And this voice came from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What is that? What is God doing? You know, like, I just want you to know this is My Son. No, no, no. This is the Father God laying His hands on Jesus. He's giving Him the Father's blessing publicly. In front of everybody. "This is My Son. And I am well pleased in Him." Now, the fact that He said He's My Son. Alright, well, okay, we already knew that, right? He's my beloved son. He's the son of my love.
Yeah.
And then he says, he makes this a statement. Think about this. In him, with him, I am well pleased. He wanted everybody to know it. Publicly. I am proud of my son. For what? Making tables? That's all he did. Now, I'm sure he got good grades in class. Right? Can you imagine Jesus in science class? Yeah, I kind of know this already. Hey? I was there when that happened, yeah. The teacher who's teaching Jesus about earth science. That's fun. But God says, I am well pleased. Why? The only reason is because He is His Son. Now, friends, the closest, and it's far distance, but those of you who've ever had children, when your child was born, that child didn't do anything. It didn't contribute anything. They were, little babies suck money out of your life like a vacuum cleaner. They cost money. Nappies and food, and they break things. And you got to buy things, and then they go to school, and they just suck money out of your life. Right?
Yeah.
But when they're babies, they don't even do anything.
Right.
They cry, and they stink.
Yeah.
And yet everybody, when you, especially if you had a child the very first time, the firstborn, you just go and you just look at them.
Yeah.
When my son Timothy was born, my wife would be asleep. She deserved to go to sleep after what she went through. But I remember I would just get up in the middle of the night, just young. I'm 25 years old. And I just go over to his pram. He can't talk. He can't do anything. He can't communicate. And I just look at him. And you know what I'm thinking? My son. My son.
Thank you, Jesus.
My son. My seed. My seed. And I see myself in him. So people come up to me all the time because if you saw my son, you'd know he's my son. And they say, oh, he looks just like you. Well, I'm glad he doesn't look like the neighbor. Huh? My son. My son. And you see, now my son is 14 years old. And there are a lot of things that he does. And there's some things that he does that are really good. He's starting to make some really good decisions. He is really smart. He's my son. In school, he got the best grades. He does a lot of things good. But you know what? I can't love him any more today than I did then, because that's the most love I've ever had. Have you ever had a kid? You know what I'm talking about? Jesus comes along and he says, if you need some food and you ask your father, if you need some bread, he's not going to give you a stone. If you need meat, he's not going to give you a scorpion. He said, how much more will your heavenly Father? You know how to give good gifts to your children. How many of you know how to give good gifts to your children? How many of you, just like Jesus said, you know evil people who give good gifts to their children? I mean, they're evil. You mean evil. You even know how to do that. How much more does your heavenly Father give good gifts? Now, when God asked me, because that's a question, He said, how much more? When God asks a question, He wants an answer. Do you know what my answer is? I don't know. I can't understand that. I need the next question. Go to the next question. I can't answer that question. How much more? There's no much more. But yet, He loves us that way because He is our Father. Amen. I want to look at two things and then we're going to pray. John 4, verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. How many of you have done that? Anybody in the house that you did that? Okay, so here, this is you. This is written to you. God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected in us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, that's Jesus, so are we in this world. Not in heaven, not when we die, in this world. As Jesus is, so are we. Now notice what he says in John 17, 23. New Living Translation, he says, I in them. Now Jesus is speaking to his Father. He says, I in them, you in me, all being perfected into one. Then the world will know that you sent me and will understand. There's something we're supposed to understand. Do you see that? We're supposed to understand something. That you love them as much as you love me.
That's awesome.
Oh, wait a second. Time out. We got to stop the clock here. Okay. How many of you know if God is going to love Jesus, that's not really a hard concept to understand? He's the perfect Son. Never did anything wrong. If anybody's going to make his Father proud, it's Jesus. So for God to love Jesus, no big deal. Jesus was and is perfect. Never did anything wrong. How many of you have done more than one thing wrong? Today? How many of you did lots of things wrong? You know, before you were saved, right? Yeah, before I was saved. How many of you did some wrong things after you were saved? Wow. We've got some really holy people here. So how can God love us as much as Jesus? I guess it doesn't depend on what we do.
That's right.
I guess it's not based on our performance. It's based on who we are.
Right.
As a child, as a son, as a daughter, he can't love you any more than he does right now. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 5, he says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You know you're in a really cool club? It's called the Beloved. Amen? Access through Jesus. John 3:1. See how very much our Heavenly Father loves us. For He allows us to be called His children. And we really are.
Amen.
It's not like somebody that is, he's like my brother. It's as if I was God's child. You really are.
Amen.
See, there was a time You didn't pastor. So that can't be who you really are. There'll probably be a day that you don't pastor. So that can't be who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Now, because of that, there are things that are true about us. We are accepted. We are loved by God. We have a part in the inheritance. Has someone ever died and left you something? Has that ever happened to you? Somebody died and they left you something. I was a little kid. My grandmother died. There was a small amount of money. I didn't know my grandmother. I met her twice. Why did I get some amount of money? Because I was in the family. You can't work for an inheritance.
No.
You get it because you're in the family. All of the promises of God are family blessings. You can't work for them. They're yours in Christ. Because you're in the family. Now, we're gonna say, but I want to just mention, do you remember the story of the prodigal son? And the son who left the father's house, who ruined the family's name, who the Bible says that he spent all of his money on riotous living. Have you ever spent any money on riotous living before? It's expensive, isn't it? Riotous living. And so he's broke, he's hungry, and he comes back, he's coming back to his father, and he says, well, I tell you what, I'm going to tell him this. I've sinned against him and heaven, and I'm no longer worthy to be called his son. I'm not even worthy to be called his son because of all these things that I've done. And when he came back, he was shocked to see his father hugged him, kissed him, gave him a robe, the family ring, put shoes on his feet. All these signs of being a son, because servants didn't wear shoes. You weren't allowed to. It was the family ring, the robe, the family robe. And he comes and he says, you know, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. That was true. He said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father says, enough. I don't want to hear this. And he calls to his, go get the fatted calf. And what did he say? Because my son has come home. He didn't look like a son. He didn't smell like a son. He wasn't acting like a son. He was a son.
That's right.
He was a son. Now, there was another brother who thought maybe he was a better son because he had done all the right things. And it's good to do the right things, but it doesn't make you more of a son. Amen?
Yeah.
Friends, tonight, and maybe in your life, you know, I was a lot older when my father first told me he was proud of me. I didn't hear those words growing up. I didn't have the father's blessing. But see, here's the thing. My father didn't have the blessing. He wasn't able to give it to me. So I got a bypass.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go straight to the Father.
Amen.
To hear His words say, this is my son. I'm well pleased. And in ministry, sometimes you do well, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you have the best idea, it doesn't work. Sometimes everything you do, all your part, and people don't follow. God is pleased with you tonight.
Amen.
Because you're a child.
Thank you, Jesus.
Can you stand to your feet? Stand to your feet. I want you to stand up. I want you to close your eyes. Not to be religious, but just so it can be between you and God. I want you to close your eyes right now. These are statements from the Bible. I want you to put your hand on your heart. I want you to say this. I want you to say, I am accepted
in the Beloved.
I am in the family of God
because I am born from above.
I am the child
of His love.
Right now,
today,
God is pleased with me. He couldn't be happier with me than He is right now. I make Him happy. He's proud of me. I receive His blessing. I'm in the family.
I'm in the family.
because of Jesus.
Because of Jesus.
I'm washed in His blood.
I am a brand new person.
I am born of incorruptible seed. God is well pleased with me.
When He thinks about me,
a smile comes to His face.
He knows every hair on my head.
He's acquainted with all of my ways.
And He loves me.
God loves me.
My Father loves me.
As much as Jesus.
Just lift up your hands right now.
I want you to talk to your Father in your own voice. In your own voice. I don't want to tell you what to say. But friends, I want you to receive the Father's blessing tonight. I want you to receive the God of the heaven and the earth. Yes, He's Jehovah. But He's your Father, and He's laying His hands on your head. And He's saying, well done. You please me. I am happy with you. I am proud of you, child. Thank you, Father. 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 In Malachi 4, verse 6, and he said, before Jesus comes back, right, so we're in this day, God says that He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. See, when you live in your heavenly Father's blessing, you can turn and give a blessing to your Father. Perhaps what He was not able to give to you, you can give back to Him. And some of you, that may not be physically possible. Your father may be passed away. But if there's bitterness in your heart, you can release him now. You don't have to carry those things with you any longer. It's okay, you can let him go. If your father is alive, I would encourage you. Phone call, an SMS, face to face. Look, and the father may have been distanced, may have been abusive, may have been one of those not good fathers. You're going to be able to look him in the eye, say, I love you. Because the hearts of the children are... See, the Bible says God does this. A psychiatrist can't do this. God does this.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
And some of you, it's going to help your life by making peace with your father. And so that you can give it to your children. Some of you that maybe have children that are older, that you didn't give the blessing to, you need to. You need to find them. You need to let them know, I'm proud of you. If you need to ask forgiveness, you need to be big enough to do it. Fathers, mothers. Amen? Because what comes into our heart changes every aspect of our life. Amen. Can we just ask God that He would show us? He would deal with our hearts? Because I believe there's some specific things that you may need to do in response to this. Let's pray. Father, I thank You right now for that You're turning the hearts of children to the fathers and fathers to the children. Father, we weren't born into a natural family by accident. This is Your design. It's supposed to look like you. It's supposed to be like heaven. But Father, so many of our families weren't like heaven. But Father, I thank you as things are changing in our heart right now, we can speak the blessing over our children. Our children who aren't perfect, but they're our children. Father, we can speak the blessing back to our Father, whether He's alive or whether He's not. Father, I thank you that right now you are changing families. You're changing families.
Thank you, Lord.
You're changing churches. Father, you're changing our lives. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Friends, some of you, you've got to let your father off the hook. You've got to let him go right now. It's not because what he did was right. It was horrible. You got to let him off the hook. Even as God in Christ forgave you, so we forgive others. Because of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we just declare and we decree, Father, that in our world, in our part of Africa, Father, it will not be a fatherless generation. It will be people who know you. Perhaps people that did not know their father, but Father, we are a generation that has a father. And you are a father to the fatherless. Father, I thank you that you make that so real in our life. And for all of the ripple effects that begin to take place. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what the wonderful thing about this is also? When God's our Father, everybody in this room is family.
Right.
Exactly.
Maybe look a little different, talk a little different. Blood. Blood. There's no Jew or Greek. There's no male or female. One family. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.